invite you to open your Bibles and turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 will be the new Psalm of the month. Let's look at, I will read Psalm 42. So please follow along. To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. The setting of this psalm is one of sorrow. And if you're the type of person always given to being happy, this psalm may find it hard. You may find it hard to put this psalm in a place in your life. I think it's a psalm that is especially appropriate for those who are living in the midst of what appears to be a long-term drought. I haven't had a lot of rain in Oklahoma in quite a while. As the deer pants for the water brooks. Well, if you lived someplace where there was a lot of water, that wouldn't make a lot of sense now, would it? The eagerness with which the deer looks for water, especially during an especially dry season, is a good picture of how we often miss our fellowship with God. I've often seen this psalm described in terms of people who are earnest. Oh, my soul pants for you, O God. And we picture the deer drinking and we tell ourselves that we are just like that. We're satisfied with those good long drinks. But I think this is the wrong idea altogether. This song is not about long drinks, but long waits. It doesn't describe someone who is happy, someone who is hopeful, and barely that. Look at the opening of this psalm again and see the language of an anguishing lament. When shall I come? Where is your God? Are any of the questions answered in the psalm? No. They're met with silence. Silence only. Day and night they are asked, or at least thought, and yet no answer comes. Tears come, questions come, but no answer. This is the picture of a hurting soul. He then moves on in verse 4 to say, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. During these protracted absences from the fellowship of God, he remembers better days. Days of former mercies, and the thoughts come to him, and they are so very bittersweet. For their memory causes him to pour out his soul, and this in turn brings to mind all the sweetness he once enjoyed and now has lost. He says to himself, I remember those times when God's Spirit was real to me, but alas, 'tis no more. This is a man who is depressed. And who sees real abandonment in his life. His hurt does not stem from any particular set of circumstances. It's not the enemies in his life that taunt him, that are driving him into this despair, per se, but it is the fact that he does not sense that he has the fellowship of God. He does not enjoy God, and he misses him, and he wants him. That's why he is like a deer longing for water. He wants the fellowship of God. The agony is not in other people. The agony is with God himself. What he needs more than anything else is for God's face to shine on him. This is what he looks for, the countenance of God. He needs nothing less than God's very real presence in his life. This is the problem the psalmist faces. In verse 5, it's as if he's talking with himself. He's pouring out his soul. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" This is not a man who is still and hopeful. This is a man who is hurting and doubting. But what does he do during these times of real abandonment? Well, he encourages himself. And how does he do this? By recounting the promise that no matter how long and how severe he feels separated from God, he will one day praise him for the help of his countenance. He knows, one day, I will see God's face. The hope expressed here is a hope that extends beyond the relief of the circumstances of life or the hardships that he faces. Sometimes the psalmists do describe particular circumstances that they want resolved. They want God to vindicate them or judge this person or help in that time of need. But he's not pleading for the help to be rid of his enemies. He's looking for the face of God. The circumstances, per se, are not the problem. It's not his enemies. It's not famine. It's not material losses that burden him. It is the loss of the friendship and the face of God. Well, where does his hope, what little hope that he has, where does it rest? He is confident that one day he will see God's face. It is God himself and nothing less that the psalmist yearns for. In verses 6 through 10, we see his meditation and his despair being turned to prayer. He reflects and he assesses all of these longings, and as he does so, he prays. He says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan." The first thing he tells God during this prayer is just what kind of sad state of affairs his soul is in. He said, "I am cast down. I have nothing. It's all lost, God." He doesn't shy away from telling God that he's depressed and full of languish. He starts his prayer with a confession of his miserable condition. There is no use in hiding your depression and despair from God. He already knows you have it. In fact, he's the cause of it now, isn't he? If he were close and his spirit was alive and real to you, you wouldn't feel this way. So there's no use in hiding these things from God. Rather, bring them to him. When he says, "I will remember," he is confessing what God has done for him in the past and what he will do for him in the future, what he has done for his people. Then he begins to describe the troubles he has. He says, "Deep calls unto deep." So the language used to describe that the waves come and they hit and there's just no sight. There's no end in sight of when they will ever stop. He tells God, "I am in difficult straits." The psalmist is reminded that there's some very strange sounding language here, but the psalmist is reminded that the Lord will command his loving kindness. The Lord will command his loving kindness toward him. Well, he is sure, and you should be as well, that God is for him. But it does not appear to be so at the moment. For now, all he can see is that frowning providence for reasons unknown. But one day, the Lord will command his loving kindness to us. Nevertheless, we will never have any question on whether or not we are the object of God's mercy, or his love, or his goodness, or his favor, or his kindness. The question is not whether he is disposed toward us this way, but whether or not we experience it now. The psalmist clearly says, I don't have that sense. I feel lost. But at some point, God will command his loving kindness toward me. The hurt expressed in the rest of the prayer is not directed at vindication from those without. His bones are broken, he's reproached, yet the question remains, Lord, when will you show me your face? That's all he wants, to see God's face. In verse 11 he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And it's the refrain of this psalm. It occurs again and again. But he has a significant addition this time. This time he praises God for the anticipated help of his countenance, and then confesses that God will be his own. He is my God. He is my help. I will see his face. So concluding, it's altogether too easy to be glib when we hurt. It's altogether too easy to be flippant when we see others hurting. It's altogether too easy to swing to the side of despondency and remain lifeless in our pursuit of holiness and of joy. What the psalmist here, what he does, is not to hide his hurt, not to hide his depression, but he admits how hard life can be. Sometimes the problem's not all in your head. Sometimes God isn't close. Sometimes the silence of God is the only deafening sound you will hear. Sometimes he is far away. So what's a man to do in these circumstances, in these dire straits? Well, begin by telling God just how depressed you are, how great your sadness is at the loss of his countenance and face. It will do you no good to hide it from him, though you may hide it from others, and may hide it well from others. You cannot hide it from him. He knows. Pour out your soul and shed your tears. Secondly, recount all those previous joys and those heart-gladdening experiences and relish them. There is nothing wrong with remembering that God has been good to you on many occasions before. And finally, look to Jesus. There is a reason why he is called the man of sorrows, for he too was acquainted with grief. Isaiah tells us that surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. You are not alone when you are his. He is the suffering servant and the shepherd of your souls. Commit your way to him. Let's pray.